It's KFC Radio Season 2, Episode 6. This episode is brought to you by Casper. Casper has the most comfortable mattresses on the market right now. They're not just any old mattresses. They're not just any old memory foam. There's a hybrid where it uses the foam combining with latex to give you a mattress that's firm but soft all at the same time. You're not going to sink into it. You're not sleeping on a rock either. And the best part is that it gets delivered directly to your house in a box. It's actually kind of fun. It comes in a box and it's all rolled up and you just like slice it off and it like unfolds like one of those like toys. Remember those toys you used to throw like a little pill in the warm water and it would just like grow?
Like a dinosaur?
Yeah, exactly.
I just like realized that. My parents have this mattress.
And I bet they love sleeping
it's
on
really
it.
It's really comfortable.
It is. I know. I sleep on one. I sleep on one every single night. They're affordable because they pass on extra savings directly to you instead of spending money on storefronts and salespeople and all that. So you can get a full-size mattress for just $750. You can get a twin extra large for $600, and a king is actually under $1,000, just $950. Right now, if you go to casper.com/KFC radio and use the code KFC radio at checkout, you're going to get $50 off your next mattress purchase. So purchase that mattress, get it delivered directly to your house, save that money, get a good night's sleep, and use the promo code KFC radio at casper.com/KFC radio to get $50 off it as well. It's Christmas in New York. Let's go.
It's Christmas in New York again. Fancy store windows and millions of lights. Downtown in December, what a fabulous sight. You spin round and round trying to take it all in. It's Christmas in New York again.
So we open up every episode right before Christmas with Shillelagh Law and Christmas in New York. It's the holiday season, it's upon us, and I could not have gotten a better gift than what I'm predicting to be the demise of Lena Dunham. My girl was back in the news this week yet again, this time saying that she wishes she had an abortion. Now, her words were slightly misconstrued. She went on her podcast and she basically was saying how she is a huge pro-choice abortion rights activist, but when she was speaking about it, she found herself saying, oh, but I've never had an abortion. And she realized she was part of the problem, because when you react that way, you are reinforcing the stigma that people who have an abortion have something to hide or something to be ashamed of. So that was...
I disagree with that, by the way.
Disagree with what?
Just like that whole, like,
that there's a stigma?
Reacting when I... No, it's absolutely a stigma. But, like, just reacting and correcting someone is, like, a bad... Like, if someone says you're gay and you're like, well, I'm not gay, that's not, like...
That you're, like, a homophobe, that, or that, yeah, that you're slandering them.
I don't think it's reinforcing a stigma. It's just saying, no, you're wrong.
Right. Well,
you're incorrect with your opinion.
But
I think
it's
it depends
also in
on
the
how.
Tone. Yeah,
yeah. If you were like, oh, I've never had an abortion, it's like, you're kind of...
Yeah, if she jumped up and shouted it, but if she just said... Well, no, I never had an abortion.
Right. That's... Well, I guess her point was that she was speaking from her own point of view, saying that she kind of was reinforcing the stigma. So I get that, and I totally understand that she doesn't want that, and that's her whole crusade. But you can't then turn around and say, so I wish I had an abortion. I mean, I wrote in my blog, it's like when you're a little kid and you wish you had a cast and you wish you had braces because other kids at school have them, and even though it's a bad thing, you're like, oh, I kind of want to see what that's like. You can't say that about abortion.
Right.
It's a really traumatic experience that people have to go through or choose to go through. It's not a good thing. If you ask anybody who's ever had an abortion, would you rather have just not been in that situation? They're going to say yes. It's not a cool thing that you want to go through. And so the internet jumped down her throat. And I blogged about it in the morning. By the afternoon, it was popping off and people were pissed. And she came out today... Yesterday, with her excuse, with her, not excuse, I guess we'll call it an apology, John, she goes, quote, my words were spoken from a sort of delusional girl persona that I often inhabit, a girl who careens between wisdom and ignorance.
Oh,
and that, she says, that's what my TV show is too. And it didn't translate. That's my fault. I would never, ever intentionally trivialize the emotional and physical challenges of terminating a pregnancy. Yo, saying that it was my delusional girl persona is not a fucking excuse. That would be like if every time I said something rude or insensitive, I was just like, oh, that's my inner douchebag talking. No, then you're just being a fucking douchebag.
Right.
If you have a delusional girl inner persona, that just means you're a fucking delusional asshole.
Not to mention, like, if you're going to describe yourself, maybe don't use words like wisdom, because that is super douchey.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm so wise.
Like, sometimes I'm wise, but sometimes I'm just delusional. Like, that's pretty annoying.
And all the time, you're an asshole for saying things like wisdom. I think this is it.
I think you're so wrong.
I don't think so, John. Listen, when I say this is it, I don't think like she's going to disappear and not be a movie star or a TV star or famous or have 5 million followers on Twitter. She's always going to be here. I think the general public has finally caught on to who she is, what her shtick is, and how much of a fucking asshole she is.
See, I agree with that. I think that happened last time, actually. I forget what her last one even was. But
I think this is the nail in the coffin. I said that last time, too. What was it? It was she did something recently that I was like, this is it. People are really going to – they're going to see my side of things now.
Was it the Odell Beckham thing?
It was after that. So this is the thing also. The past 12 months, maybe it's because she's been in the public eye with the election and Hillary and all that, but she's had like 4 straight mm-hmm. incidents where every time it's like, yo, you're a fucking asshole. And I used to – you know,
the Odell Beckham one was she sat next to him at the Met Gala
and was mad that
he played on his phone rather than talking to her.
Didn't acknowledge her.
He didn't find her body a shape he deemed sexy.
Right.
Or something like that.
It's totally made up in her head.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong.
He probably thought that.
100%. Odell Beckham looked at her and was like, that lumpy fucking mound of pizza dough is not sexy. But he never voiced that, never showed that. She just brought that up in her own head. She did sick shaming.
Right.
Where what's sick shaming?
She said she canceled a book signing appearance, mm-hmm. and someone was like, bro, come on, you can't just show up and sign some books when you're sick. And she was like, you're sick shaming me, and we have a problem in this country where we make women go back to work too soon after giving birth. And it was like, dude, what? You had a cold, and now we're talking about maternity leave? Like, the jump is crazy. She had, obviously, all the I'm going to move to Canada stuff.
That's right.
She went completely dark after the election and then posted that long, sorry-ass letter where she was talking about, like, somebody fucking died.
Crying in the shower and stuff like that.
Yep. Okay. She did the grab her by the pussy costume for Halloween where she dressed up as a cat with a hand on her vagina, which was kind of like, you know, you're acting like this is your big crusade and now you're making a Halloween joke of it like the rest of us. So, really, it's been a bad long
she
year.
Had the rap
for her.
Video with the rap Charlamagne. Video,
which, I was just cringe.
That's right.
So it was just hit after hit after hit of I think people who were not fully obsessed with her behavior the way I am finally being like, who is this chick? Oh yeah, everything I've read about her, she's a fucking asshole.
And I think every time she does something annoying, it makes the next thing worse, too. It's kind of like when you have a roommate, and then, like, all of a sudden one day, every fucking thing they do is just so wrong and terrible and annoying.
It snowballs.
Yeah, like
The frosted flakes in the sink, right, John?
That's what it is. But I don't think she's going to go away, because I don't think you're taking into account how much people need villains. So I think I hate saying things such as the right and the left because I think it's so fucking stupid. Just being passionate about anything is dumb, and especially being passionate enough about politics to label yourself something rather than just saying I'm a level-headed person and that's it. But the right needs people like her to prop up and say,
This is what the left stands for.
This is what they think.
Yes.
Just as the left needs people like Alec Jones to prop up and say, this is what the right thinks.
True story.
And don't get me wrong, there are some people who follow them and have these same crazy beliefs. But it's a fucking vast minority. It's just the other side is the one that kind of makes it. Like, I guess in this case, kind of us are the people who yell louder when she does something like this rather than people who agree with her.
I see what you're saying. I think – so I guess my point is that I think the people that agree with her are after this is going to be the final incident where they're like, this girl's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I will say,
there'll always be people like me being like, fuck Lena Dunham. But I think even the hardcore Democrat girls fans supporters are going to be like, this girl needs to shut the fuck up.
I mean, I put myself in that group. Like, until now, like, I agreed that she was annoying, but I was still like, why is she annoying? Like, why don't I like her? This is pretty fucking annoying and obnoxious. Like,
and you know what? That's a good way to put it, too, is like, not everything needs to be like, is she right or wrong or morally corrupt or is her intentions blah, blah, blah. It's like, you're just fucking annoying.
Yeah.
You just bother me every time you open your fucking mouth.
But on the other hand, like, I do kind of sympathize with her because, like, even being on a podcast.
No,
like,
boo!
No,
boo!
No, let me just. I mean, like, you guys know, like, being on a podcast, it's a lot of time to fill by saying things.
Yeah, sometimes you get caught up. And
you're going to say the wrong thing all the fucking time. And when people are already against you like that, it's
But
like,
here's
magnified.
The problem. But here's the problem with that. I can say whatever the fuck I want on this podcast, and no one's going to really get too mad because I've never propped myself up.
Yeah.
I've never claimed to be
wise
or
have wisdom.
Right. I've never claimed to be the end-all, be-all of just justice, really.
That's so true.
Guy who says the right things and does the right things. I've been true and just been like, I'm a fucking idiot, so I can say dumb things.
Right. We talk about this all the time with the hockey Twitter guys. So there's this, like, crew on Twitter of hockey writers who always somehow find themselves in, like, social justice warrior takes. And they always take a stand, and they're always like, fuck Barstool, they're misogynistic, and blah, blah, blah. 6 months down the road, their DMs leak, and they're, like, the creepiest fucks on Twitter.
It's happened multiple. It's happened three times, I think, three or four times with the biggest haters of us. Their DMs have gotten out or something like that, and it's just been creepy guys commenting on girls' tits in their DMs. And
hardcore Republicans.
Right, exactly. When they're toe-tapping in the bathroom.
Yes.
So, voting against a gay marriage, but then saying, hey, I'm going to fucking blowjob, bro.
Right.
But our point always is that my DMs might leak, and there might be some creepy shit in there, but I never have claimed to be the moral authority on how to treat women and how to behave on the internet and blah, blah, blah. So our skeletons are just open, and their skeletons are in the closet.
That's why I've always said that I don't even – such a common and really played out joke at this point is the whole, if I die, clear my history. I've been off that for 10 years, ever since I've worked at Barstool, because I've always just said –
show my history.
This is my history. This is what I do.
Yo, your history is your past, your present, and your future. It's just that is who you are. So just show it. So, yeah, I think Lena is – I think she has finally – she's not going anywhere. You're not going to just lose 5 million followers overnight. I don't know if her show is – continue. I think her show is going to end, though, just because it's over.
Yes, I think it's end this last season.
So, like, my point, I don't think she's going to get, like, a new HBO show. I don't think she's going to get another Girls. I think this is at least the beginning of the end for Lena Dunham.
I really like the show Girls, actually. And this doesn't make me not like Girls at all. Like,
I
can separate the two. She put on a great show. She's annoying, but that doesn't
I've never
away from
watched
the
an
show
episode. The only thing I've ever seen is when Allison Williams got her ass eaten, which was a great scene.
I saw that a lot.
That was awesome. Imagine getting to be that actor.
I mean, the gif is out there all the time. It's just a quick Google search away.
That boyfriend or hookup or whatever that character was, that dude has the best story ever for the rest of time. Like, hey, what's up, man? My name's Mike. Guess what I've done?
Like, also, like, that girl really chose the right role because she's pretty much the only hot one on that whole show.
She's sexy, and she's really hot.
And, like, but I think she looks even
hotter. It's the ugly friend factor. You surround yourself with ugly chicks. Have you ever thought about that?
I think about this all the time.
I don't think you're the type who would assemble a crew of ugly girls on purpose.
No,
but have you ever been like,
first
I'm
of
definitely
all,
the hottest
getting
chick
a
tonight?
A crew of girls is already really, really hard. I actually believe that if you have like a group of friends that are like sixes to eights, you all look like tens. Like, collectively.
Because,
like,
everyone just looks at you and
like,
says...
Have you ever seen, like, a group of, like, blondes, like, four blondes at a bar? It doesn't matter what their faces look like. They're hot. It's a group of tens once there's four of them banded together.
That's actually kind of a good point.
Yeah.
Because you, as a guy, at least, you're sitting there thinking, like, I don't care which one it is. They're all good to me. In that case, they're all tens. They're happy. You're good. Like, I'll take what I can get.
Right.
It's power in numbers.
It's true.
It's like how fish, you know, fish stay in, like, the school and they can, like, you could be one tiny fish
so
alone,
beautiful.
But you can fight like a shark if you're all together. That's hot chicks. Yeah. But I definitely think that there are girls who would. So So let me ask you this then. Would you rather go out with hot girls for that effect, or would you rather just be the definite hottest chick out of five?
Ooh. It's...
I think you still want to be like surrounded by a bunch of twos and you're an eight or you're an eight. As we have established, you're already an eight.
It's not that important to me that I'm the best looking in the group. Like, but there was definitely a time in my life where it was really important to me that I was the sluttiest girl in the group. I don't feel that way so much anymore now that I've gotten the chance to be the sluttiest girl in the group.
I think you're
so
well established in that
department.
Yeah,
like I – well, also like I'm older.
Also was the white kid on the basketball team.
Exactly.
I don't give a fuck about being the best, but I'm going to fucking work the hardest at this dick. That's for sure. No one's going to outwork Asa for cock. She'll get on the floor. She'll fucking die for the ball. Asa's winning
charges.
Dick. Asa's winning dick.
But yeah, like I don't know.
Do you mean that in terms of like
less.
Dress? Like when you would go out, you'd be like, I'm going to have to dress the sluttiest tonight. I'm going to act the sluttiest tonight. Yeah. And I'm going to fuck the most guys tonight.
Yeah, before porn, I used to dress like a total slut.
Oh, by the way, this is big. I've been keeping track of this. This is, I think, the first time I think I have seen Asa wear something other than a black shirt. It's blue today.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
No, that's not true.
I've been keeping track for like...
Nah, there's been a couple of whites in there.
There's been
there's a
lot
gray.
Of blacks.
This is probably the only blue shirt I own, and it's a free Barstool shirt, oh, by the way.
You can find it in the store.
store.barstoolsports.com. But I'm like black, white, and gray.
I can... That's I've seen nothing but black pants and black shirt for like 2 weeks straight. So
you will probably in New York winter, I'll probably never wear anything but black leggings.
I respect it. I love it. We have some voicemails to get into, but first we're gonna do a Barstool DVR segment. It's brought to you by DollarShaveClub.com. Dollar Shave Club. It's not just razors. It's not just the handles. They've got a whole set of men's grooming products, from hair products to lip balm to lotions. Right now they've got the Wanderer, which is a lotion, a cream that's going to make your skin look fresh and feel fresh. It's going to make you smell good. You're going to be confident. You're going to be able to roll into the bar, find that pack of four or five blondes, and go have sex with all of them, because you've got a fresh shave and all the nicest, newest, fashionable beauty products from Dollar Shave Club. They will mail boxes of these products directly to your house every month, every other month. I'm on the every other month schedule. I get my razor sent. They have the Executive Razor right now, which is one of the nicest, finest, most luxurious razors out there. And if you go to dollarshaveclub.com/KFC, you're going to get your first order of razors for free when you get the Wanderer. And all you got to do is pay for shipping and handling. It's just like a dollar. So go to dollarshaveclub.com/KFC, get your razors and all your products to make sure you look good, feel good, play good. Barstool DVR. Today we are finally talking about The OA. It's a show that we have been teasing and discussing on Twitter a little bit. We decided that since the three of us are TV junkies, we're going to be watching TV shows, discussing TV shows. We picked this one out as the first show that we were going to watch together and watch along with the other listeners on the show.
I've been waiting for this moment. Can I just say?
Asa, John, she took notes. She binged the whole thing.
Look at all these notes I took.
She literally was taking notes like it was a book report. Now, I want to make sure people understand that we just picked this show because it was all of a sudden kind of went viral with the way they marketed it and campaigned for it. It was getting a lot of comparisons to Stranger Things. So we kind of thought, let's see what the hype is about. Now, so not everything we watch on the show is necessarily an endorsement of, like, we love The OA, everyone should be watching it. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure your boy Feidelberg didn't like it at all.
I did not.
So let's get into it. I mean, this show was compared to Stranger Things.
There might be some spoilers.
And so that's the point. There's going to be some spoilers probably. It's hard to talk about this show. It's a bingeable show that you can watch the whole thing in one weekend. You kind of need to discuss the ending. So if you're really into The OA, you want to finish it, or you haven't finished it yet, you're trying to avoid spoilers, maybe skip over to the voicemail section. This show was drew a lot of comparisons to Stranger Things. And I think at times, for me, it kind of had that. It's a cool, like, sci-fi-ish type of show. There was a lot of elements that I liked. And then I think the problem is a lot of times with these shows, for me, when it goes too unrealistic is where you lose me. So this show dealt with a lot of things that I thought were, like, very visceral and real. She was kidnapped or taken, kind of. She was held captive. I'm, like, fascinated by that. I start thinking, mm-hmm. what would I do if I was kidnapped? What would I do in this scenario? How would I escape? So I'm thinking about all that. There was a lot of stuff about near-death experiences. I think about that shit all the time. Mm-hmm. Is there an afterlife? What if you could prove there was or was not? The scientific experiment aspect that the dude from the Brotherhood, what's his name, Jason Isaacs?
Jason Isaacs, yeah.
Who was really the only, like, recognizable actor in the show.
Well, Nas.
No, Nas.
Oh, and Nas from the Night
and
of.
Phyllis.
And Phyllis.
Come on.
Yeah, right. And Phyllis, who we talked about how we, like, fist pumped when I saw she was in the show. He was the scientist, like, doing these experiments. I liked all that. When we went a little too literal with the, like, almost going to heaven, I'm an angel, and then eventually when they were doing the weird-ass yoga dances that were supposedly opening up doors to another dimension, I was like, I'm out.
I know what you mean, but I thought that was all so overlookable. Like, I think, Kevin, you even texted me at the point that they started, they first said the word angel, and you were like, I think I'm out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I just chose to, like,
yeah, she said
ignore
that
part.
She said, I chose not to, like, acknowledge that. And I was like, okay, all right.
Because the show is so good, but then the second she said angel, yeah, I was like,
I liked the actual setup of the show where she is, it's basically a campfire story. She's, like, sitting around retelling the story
that
to the people.
That part was so amazing. It, like, brought tears to my eyes.
Right, when they kind of acknowledge the fact that now the show's starting.
Yeah, and
yes.
the
that
credits
was all
start
the
rolling,
really.
And the music right. starts playing. And
it's awesome.
It's like,
yeah, so there were moments like that where I was like, this is dope. Mm-hmm. And I thought the scenes where her and the other captives were in this, you know, basement cave sort of thing, I thought those were really well done. Like, where I thought it was like, palms are sweaty. Like, is she going to escape? Is she going to get caught? How mm-hmm. is she going to get out? That kind of shit I love. Mm-hmm. Because I really do start thinking, like, if I was kidnapped, what would I do? All right. Mm-hmm. So I'm cooking for him, but I'm blind. Well, I'm going to grab a knife and just fucking stab him. Or I'm going to do this.
Oh my
or I'm going to do that.
Those scenes were insane where, like, when she was still blind and,
yeah.
And like, she's about to be caught.
Right. Those, so tense. And she's like, trying to drug him. But she, you know, he notices that something's up. I thought all that was cool. I just... When it went, the first time I was really out was when she had a near-death experience and she went into, like, outer space.
Yeah, no, that part was very Sci-Fi Channel.
And
yeah,
when she just
very
chose...
low-budget Sci-Fi Channel, like, this is, oh, we're in like, limbo now, and this mm-hmm. weird gypsy woman is, like, the deity who's going to decide.
Yeah.
And it just...
At that point, she was offered the chance to go with her dad, which she'd been chasing for 20 years, and she just decided not to now.
Right, but I guess that's kind of the point, is that she was like, I have to go, you know, save
the
others.
Original
I'm
angel.
The angel who has to save other people.
That was stupid. Right when she did that, when she just had this idea that she wasn't going to go with him, I said, that's the only reason you're here. That's the reason you came up here. Fuck the other people.
Yeah, but
when you say fuck the other people, now I want to just have a general discussion here. There's a moment, really, where she's
yes,
cooking
exactly
for
what
him or whatever, and he has the allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to her, I'm the only one who has the code to get down to that to the basement, so if you let me die, they're going to die. If that's me, and I've been fucking kidnapped, and I'm living like a fucking zoo animal in the basement cave, I'm sorry, bro. I'm out. You're on
well,
your
that's
own.
That's why you're not a fucking angel.
You're
Kevin.
Goddamn right. But here's what I would say to that.
But that was already established when she didn't eat the sandwich because the others couldn't. That's when we know.
Fuck that, yo! Yeah, I'll that tell you right great. Now. If me, you, if the three of us are ever kidnapped, every man for himself.
Dude, why? Why would she even just? If you're not gonna, why did she make the guy a sandwich? That pissed
yeah,
me off too.
That I didn't get either. Why did she make him the sandwich?
Right. I thought she was making it for herself, and I thought, oh, that's kind of a dickhead move for him to take it a half after letting her make it. And then she just made him a fucking sandwich. Why?
I thought she was showing like the first signs of maybe like Stockholm syndrome,
right?
Because he does show her like special treatment. He does favor her over the others. He is the one keeping her alive. So I thought maybe like that's what they were trying to show, but it wasn't because she didn't have Stockholm syndrome at all. But like back to the fake thing, like the Sci-Fi Channel, like I think maybe they made those scenes so cheesy on purpose because the rest of the show was so well made. Like, even the school shooting
scene. It did seem very out of place.
That amazingly it was, shot. So I think maybe, like, maybe they made it so fake on purpose. And, like, maybe that's a sign that it was mental illness. Maybe, like, she did imagine it all.
So they made it intentionally bad to be like, this is not what is actually going on. This is all in her head.
I have another question. And I apologize if some of these are stupid because I did not follow the show like I follow shows I really like. I checked in and out of the show pretty often. If she was mentally ill or if it was uncovered that it wasn't a real kidnapping, that she was never at that at Hap's cabin or whatever you'll have it. Where was she?
So, okay. So just to flesh that out a little bit, there was a point in the show where you get the vibe that, and I thought this could, I kind of felt this coming a little bit where it wasn't actually five people who were kidnapped along with him and that it was all in her head. And the main, I think the main piece is that one of those people was, the guy's name was Homer. And at one point you see that this, they find a stack of books at Prairie's house. One of them was Homer, the Iliad, written by Homer. So it's almost like if you ever read or saw the movie The Life of Pi, where the dude was trapped on a boat and you thought he was with like a tiger and a chef and a this and that, and it turned out it was all things in his head that he created to try to get through this traumatic experience. Or have you ever seen the movie Identity? Either of you guys ever see that?
Is that the one with like five fingers on the cover? Yes. Yeah, I just gave it away. Sorry.
It's the same sort of thing where there's like a bunch of characters and then, spoiler alert, you find out that it's all actually different personalities inside one person. I thought that could have potentially been the situation. So, but you bring up a good point then. It's like, so if that was, maybe she was kidnapped, but it was just her all by herself with Hap, not everybody else.
Yeah, I think that part's open to interpretation. I think also
all
the
those
scene,
books she would have had to have with her.
Or maybe the dude gave it to her.
But yeah, we don't know.
What dude?
The Nas.
But then how did she get them all from her house?
Yeah.
To her house.
Right. Yeah, so that, well, or maybe she has read those books before
and
manifested it when she was kidnapped.
Here's something I read on Reddit.
What does Homer even have to do with
anything? If those are her books.
It's just a book she read? She decided to choose the author's name and not fucking someone in the book? That's stupid, too. This show sucks.
Kaiser Soze saw...
it's a Kaiser Soze thing where you see things and you have things in your brain.
But
and you
Kaiser Soze was literally looking at them.
Yeah, but
this wasn't a book she read 20 years ago.
Maybe it's your favorite book.
But something people on Reddit brought up
the Iliad's your favorite book, a character you're thinking of isn't Homer because he's not a fucking character.
First of all, nobody thinks of that Homer. Everyone thinks of Homer Simpson. And I was thinking it the entire fucking time. I was like, why did they name this character Homer?
Right.
It's so distracting.
But that is a good, that's a point of it's like no one's actually named Homer.
No one's named Homer. So, it's like being named Hitler.
Right. So it's like, this is something in her head. It's not
also
a natural name.
And then like what some people mentioned on Reddit. First of all, I have no original thoughts left. Like once I went so deep into Reddit that like I don't even know what I think anymore. I'm just repeating things.
I didn't even look at Reddit for this one.
But like,
I only do Reddit with things I really
care
about.
The books, it must have been planted because how does she know how to read in English? She should only know how to read
time.
In Braille. She
point.
Was Russian. And she went blind in Russia and then came over to America. So she didn't even, like, learn to read in English. She learned to read in Braille.
That's a good point.
So maybe there is more to it. I mean, it depends.
I mean, that's a good point, but I still think that's that whole, like...
Would be, like, a stretch.
I think the books planted there is stupid.
I think, actually, I know you guys didn't, like it that much, but I thought
this show if the books planted there is stupid,
really
then why...
Amazing.
Then again, why is... What are all these characters? Where was she? If she wasn't kidnapped by herself.
She could have been so many places. She could have been really kidnapped, like Kevin said, just by herself. She could have been in a mental institution.
I just don't think there was other people.
I think a really telling scene
was
when...
But she wasn't in a mental institution because she told your parents she ran away.
Yeah, but like remember the scene in the restaurant where the mom's like, where the fuck have you been? And she's like, oh. And then she says all this stuff about I'm the OA.
Yep.
You know, whatever, and the mom slaps her. I think that's such a telling scene because I think to me that screams mental illness.
Right.
Because the mom just couldn't handle it anymore.
Like what the fuck is wrong with you?
Wake the fuck up.
Yes.
But they knew she had a mental illness before that.
Right. But like, so I think it just shows how frustrating it must be when like someone you love is crazy. Mentally ill and you can't do anything for them. It's just like such a hopeless situation when someone is living in an alternate reality.
You made a good point earlier where you said this show feels like it's either a commentary on mental illness or it's a sci-fi.
And
like,
I think it works so well both ways. Yeah. Like the story feels complete to me, whether it was in her head or whether it was just a total sci-fi story.
Which I actually like.
See, I can't feel. I do like that. So that those two schools of thought, but it can't feel complete to me if it's a sci-fi thing because the whole premonition was leading up to dancing to distract a school shooting. That's what everything was. That's what this whole buildup for 20 years was.
So first of all, I think that I like the idea of like, is it the afterlife or are we talking about just like mental illness? I there's a lot of stories like that. A lot of TV shows where it's like, are you crazy or is it, you know, fate or coincidence? They kind of lost me with the yoga dancing where it was like, even if this is all still going on, I think it's fucking ridiculous when I have to watch these people
but
like,
convulsing
around and everything.
I thought that was stupid and it did bother me, but it also, I mean, that historically speaking, that's how people communicated with gods.
Yeah, they did so weird.
Tribal dances and rain dances.
And
like
I liked
that
it was so weird because like the fact that it was so weird makes it even more confusing. Is it sci-fi or is it mental illness?
Right. Are you just a crazy person gyrating around, flailing, or is that the way you... I guess if you continue to look at it through that lens, when Prairie was like, I'm going to open up a door to another dimension and travel there. In my head, I was like, this is corny. But if you're thinking of it as like, this chick is crazy and she's getting people to believe it, like you said, we had discussed before that it had a lot of cult undertones. Where this is like, so you found the bully who is going to get expelled and sent to military school who's desperate just to like not get sent away. You have the little boy, girl who's trans and obviously like has her insecure issues. You have Phyllis who's like... what was her deal?
Brother
her brother
just
died. So everyone's kind of vulnerable. Everyone's very impressionable. And all of a sudden, they're buying into this wild story this chick is telling.
But it could have been a cult.
Right.
It could have totally been a cult, and she could have been like, I am the second coming of Jesus.
And I'm the original. It's weird to walk around saying I'm the original angel.
Totally.
So if you look at it through that lens of like, this is a crazy person that is convincing all these people. That to me is a lot more interesting than like, she's actually opening up portals to another dimension and saving people. But then the school shooting thing at the end, like she has some sort of dream and knows to run down to the school because something bad is about to happen.
Because she has to put on a dance show.
That to me is like, you can't just say, oh, this is a crazy person. You know what I mean? There has to be some sort of like, she actually did see something that sends her to the school.
But like, I mean, I also believe in crazy coincidences.
Yeah.
And I like that in a movie. Like, I like weird shit like that in a movie. Like when it's
what you enjoy is kind of the opposite of the ending of Westworld, where you say, "Well, maybe we don't know what happened." I hate that. Like
I don't think we
the ending
didn't.
Of Westworld,
you want it
we did
up
not
and
know
answered.
What happened though. It was open to interpretation, but it wasn't like a no answer like Sopranos ending.
It was essentially no answer because we don't know what happened.
Yeah, but I felt satisfied at the end.
Do you think she's dead?
I laughed out loud when they danced in front of that.
They
dude.
Did that really well
the,
too.
The shooter.
And it was such a white, bright place. It could have easily been a mental institution or
heaven. And she says Homer, and it's like, are you seeing him in heaven? Are you seeing him in your head? Are you seeing? I think ultimately the problem for me is that the weird parts were a little too corny weird. The dancing.
The green screen
afterlife, that even just calling yourself the original angel. Now, maybe all that was done intentionally, like you said, to be like, maybe it's all just mental illness. But I loved the kidnapping. I loved the near-death experience stuff. I loved a lot of that. And I can get down with weird. I'm a nerd. I like the sci-fi shit. But it has to be done in a certain way. And the way they did it on this I thought was corny.
I can totally agree that that was really corny. And I thought it the second they showed it. Like, just like
the
weird
you were like,
space
what
room.
The fuck?
And
yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Because it does take me out of it. But, like, I can appreciate it for, like, if I can think that they did that on purpose, then I think it was like brilliant.
Yeah, that's if that, maybe it's over my head, or maybe they didn't do it well enough. Some combo of the two. But it's funny, John, that you hated this so much, but you love Stranger Things.
Well, I didn't hate it. It's kind of one of these things where when you're on a podcast, when you're talking about it, you get more entrenched as you go on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't thinking, oh my god, this sucked when I finished it, but I also wasn't pleasantly surprised. I wasn't satisfied. It was kind of a waste of 8 hours for me.
So I would say I am falling. Like, I watched it with my wife. My wife usually doesn't like any of this sort of like sci-fi shit. She was tolerating it. It was something that we binged in a weekend. And afterwards, I wasn't like, this was a waste of 8 hours. It's not something that I would be like, this has my KFC radio stamp of approval. Everybody go watch it. It's like, if you have some time and you're into a little bit of like these things, like some afterlife discussions and all that sort of shit, watch it.
I give it my stamp of approval. And so that's
so you, that's like the full array kind of. I fall somewhere in between you two.
Wait, but let's talk about afterlife.
Yeah, so that's really my question in general, aside from the show.
My last thing on the show was the little girl was cute as a button.
She was so adorable. Cute.
Yeah, it was. Once she was out, I was kind of out because I thought she was cool. I thought she was a great actress. The way I think she was pretending to be blind.
I wonder if she's really Russian. It must be. She was really good at acting blind, yeah. And I think acting blind must be so hard. I was kind of like trying to do it on my own. Like
your eyes can't
move.
Do
you look?
You can't look.
You have to look kind of straight ahead, but like. Also, I think it floats a little up. I'm not sure. I don't know.
You gotta like drift it off. And
yeah.
If you could find out right now, confirm if there was or was not an afterlife, would you want to know?
Yeah.
No.
100%. What? Why?
I love when that happens.
What?
I just don't really care.
That's what? You don't not. Care.
I mean, I don't not care.
I can understand someone saying I don't want to know because like. I don't want to know that there is no afterlife.
I don't care to change the way I live.
Right. Okay, that I can get to. But it is like the number one basically like biggest question humanity has ever like
It's the
pondered.
Difference between knowing if you're going to live for 50 more years or for eternity.
Oh, that would be hell.
Yeah, but you can understand where
but
people
it might
some
be
people
a great
wouldn't want to know that.
I cannot understand that, Kevin.
Like some
like
people.
That is unfathomable to me to not want to know that.
Would you
want to
know the day? I also don't want to know the day
I
die.
Wait, do you want to know? I don't want to know the day I die either, or how I die, because that anxiety would just like ruin my life.
But you can't understand that some people wouldn't want to find out if the answer is no. Like right now, ignorance is bliss, and that's why a lot of like religion exists, because it's like I need something to latch onto, because I don't want to just think that we rot in the dirt afterwards.
But if
the world confirmed that there was no afterlife, it would be complete fucking chaos.
Well, I think there is no afterlife,
and you kind of live your life accordingly. I think there's a lot of people who do stay on the straight and narrow because they're like, I need to make it to the afterlife.
Yeah, I think like those people would love to know that there's no afterlife,
because
then they could really start fucking living.
yeah. But I think there are a lot of people who need that like false sense.
No.
It's
you changed my
if
mind,
you
right.
need that false sense, you're just a fucking piece of shit anyway. So.
Wouldn't say a fucking piece of shit.
If you need some fucking guy in the sky to tell you to not be a fucking shithead.
Well, but I meant more like, yes, I agree with that. Like, if you wanted, I would just be murdering people left and right, but there's a guy in the sky telling me.
But that's not the only kind of imprisonment. Yeah, like, there's people who think they need to stay virgins until they until they get married or
idiots.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's all well and good, but I do think there are people who are, they need... You know, a little sense, like a little bit of faith to get them through, like to be able to explain the unexplainable. When something terrible happens, you can say to yourself, like, there's a bigger plan and there's things happen for a reason and all that kind of stuff.
In poor communities, really, is what mostly.
Yeah, because you have to latch on to shit.
Because you need hope.
Right.
And so I guess, those people would never want to find out that there isn't because then all hope's gone.
Yeah, no, and you know. I definitely think, like, everybody believes what they need to believe, and, like, we shouldn't knock that. Like, everyone's just doing what they can.
Yeah.
And, like, you tell yourself what you need to tell yourself in order to be okay with things. But I do feel like a lot of people would be really freed by knowing, or by, like, if there is no afterlife, by being told that, like, I think that would free a lot of people.
It's weird because I don't really believe in all the. I don't know where I fall when it comes to like religion and all that. I don't really believe in the afterlife, I think. But if it were to be absolutely confirmed to me, I think I would be like, that kind of sucks.
Even though you don't want to know.
Even though I'm already kind of leaning that way, like I already think that you're really just fucking, you're dead and you're in the dirt. If it was like scientific proof, boom, that you're done after this, I think I'd be like, shit, I really don't want to die now.
You want that tiny, tiny
ounce
of hope.
Just a sliver, just a 0.01%. And when that gets taken away, I mean, maybe then you really start fucking living. But I think I'd like having maybe the possibility. There's enough weird things every now and then that happen in the world where I'm like, I don't know. Maybe there is something going on.
Yeah. No. I'm not closed off to an afterlife at all. Like, I think it's very fucking possible. It's just, like, not the way I'm leaning.
I've tried to do...
But I'm not closed off to it.
I've tried to do, for years now, I've tried to do, the Pascal wager situation where it's kind of...
What's that?
Hang on, let me remember. This was high school, so it's been a long-ass time. It's if you believe in God and he doesn't exist... then who cares? You live life fine.
Right.
If you don't believe in God and he doesn't exist, then who cares? I forget what all four are, but it's basically you lose on all three of them unless you believe in the afterlife and it doesn't exist.
And it turns out to be.
So it's like you might as well. That's the only way you win. Every way else, you lose.
There's always some sort of disappointment unless you just believe in it and maybe it's right.
Right. And so I've kind of tried to convince myself of that, but I still don't really.
Yeah, I know.
I still try and just look in the mirror and say, believe it, just listen to it. Come on, it's the only way to win at this fucking game.
It's like someone saying, you know, 2 + 2 = 5. You really want it to equal 5. Just believe it's 5, and you just don't believe it. And it's like, no, I know that's not right.
I think
it's hard.
The only way to win is to not believe in it, because the only way you're ever going to find out is if there is, in fact, an afterlife, right? Because that's the only time we'll ever be conscious after dying. So you can... If you don't believe in an afterlife, you can only be like pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, set the bar real fucking
low.
That's what it is. Set it low.
But then you don't. If you didn't believe your whole life, you don't really get to go.
True.
Oh well, that's no.
It's a mortal fucking
sin. I don't believe in that.
Well, that's some New Testament bullshit where it's just
that's
he's just a really nice guy, and right before you just say you're sorry right before you die, and everything's fine.
No. That's
there's no hellstone and brimstone and hellfire. It's just he's just a cool dude. It's like he's the fun dad up there. That's what he is. Just say sorry once and then you're fine.
You think you're gonna get up to the gates and they're gonna be like, Asa.
First
you're
of all,
out.
There's gonna be no if
Or they're gonna be like,
heaven,
Asa, we're a big fan of your work. Come on in, girl. what you do on camera, we do all fucking day in heaven. That's what heaven's all
about. That's the
Come
thing.
On in.
If heaven is in fact for good people, it's gonna be full of like the worst fucking people. It's gonna be full of like corny ass people that you don't want to spend eternity with.
Well, what's the song?
Rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints.
Right. Yeah.
That's what's up. Billy Joel knew what he was fucking talking about. How about that? A little in-depth afterlife discussion on KFC Radio. That's what people are expecting from this show.
If you tune in to KFC Radio to catch a Pascal's wager drop, what up, John?
Yeah.
Shout out, Mr. O'Connor.
You know what
Humanities.
That is?
What up?
That's fucking versatility. That's versatility on a podcast because we're about to start talking about jerking off and hookers and all sorts of stuff. We can bring you every form of entertainment. By the way, we got official download numbers the other day for the new KFC Radio. Our downloads are up 400%.
Yay.
4 times. So people were wondering if this was going to work. New transition. How's it all going to play out? Are you going to like it? Are you not? 4 times the number of people are downloading the podcast. So thank you to everyone downloading it because this is now officially like a major show. Which
Yay.
Feels fucking good. I've been trying to get it a really long time. Turns out I just needed to find a porn star, bring my brother in, and get John focused. Boom. Bingo bango. That's all it took. It really has nothing to do with me. So, again, shout out to everybody who is listening and spread the word to your friends. Go download, rate, subscribe, review on KFC Radio on iTunes. But let's get into these voicemails, which are brought to you by BetDSI.com. One of the most reliable ways to place wagers online. Bet that money. Make that money at BetDSI, where you can bet on major sports, basketball, hockey, football. They got weird sports like soccer and MMA. You can bet on golf. You can bet on things that aren't even sports related. You can do reality TV shows and all sorts of other world events. As long as there's a winner and a loser and an outcome to be wagered on, BetDSI has got you covered. They are A-plus rated by a lot of the sportsbook review sites. Very trusted, and it's very easy to use. You can bet in-game. It's easy to cash out, and right now, if you use the promo code KFC200, you're going to get a 200% bonus for your first deposit. So if you deposit $500, you're going to get $1,000 in total bonus credits to wager for a total of $1,500. So once again, go to BetDSI.com and use the promo code KFC200 to get that 200% bonus with your first deposit. We begin today with my man Chris, who has been telling us this saga of the Peruvian hooker girlfriend. He's here to give us an update and further discuss the situation.
What's up, guys? This is Chris from Brooklyn, and I'm calling to follow up on my voicemail from last week pertaining to the $300 hooker, not a hooker situation.
I love this guy's voice, by the way.
Yeah.
Chris from Brooklyn, I'm calling.
He's like a Joe Pesci type.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know he's the funny one in the group.
I would sincerely...
Funny how?
Like a clown.
Second voicemail in this three-part voicemail series culminating next week. So first, a few follow-up answers to...
By the way, this is pretty cocky that he's just proclaimed, like, this is my three-part series,
yeah, I will be
talking to you guys next week, but here we go, part two.
Your questions from last week. First, my friend's 30, the girl's 28, so this isn't some sort of high school, college love story. Second, they met on OkCupid, and she's Peruvian. That's in South America, Asa. Born and raised here, no green card required.
No green card.
And I don't know what that shit about a financial dominatrix was about, but that's got to be 1 in 8 billion.
I feel like
so
Chris
we can
doesn't
scrap
like
that.
Me. Or am I just being like...
I think he's just answering a lot of your questions. Financial dominatrix is not a real thing, so that's out the window. And you were wrong on Eastern Europe, even though Peru is pretty similar.
No, but he said she was raised here. She was born in America, so
right.
Not
so
even
she doesn't need the green
immigrant.
Card. It really
yeah.
doesn't even matter.
What I wanted to talk about this week is her day job. So she tells my friend that she's a quote-unquote event coordinator that works from home. Now, I'm actually a recruiter, headhunter, whatever you want to call me, not too far from your office, and I work on event coordinator roles all the time. And I can tell you that it's impossible to work from home because you need to be at the venues to plan the goddamn events. So, I think that her events were appointments, and she did this $300 thing 5 or 6 times a month to cover her rent. No question this week, just wanted your opinion on that. Thanks, guys.
The event coordinator wrinkle, where she's just constantly working from home as an event coordinator.
I don't understand how that makes sense. I feel like an event coordinator could absolutely work from home.
What?
You need to see the space.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah, but like your office could be at home. That it doesn't mean that you're sitting at home blogging all day.
Shade in the forecast.
I think I'm...
Shade.
You know what? Let me start over because he has me feeling a little butthurt.
I love this is Asa's thing too, where she has to clarify every question. We got a tweet this earlier this week, John. It was like, has Asa ever understood a question on the first try? So I was like,
I never noticed that, and just like I never noticed her J or G's.
Yeah, say virgin.
Well, now you're putting me on the spot.
Virgin.
Virgin.
Vagina.
Virgin.
She goes with like a Z-H-E instead of a G. I like it. It's cocky. It's like, this is the way I talk.
I guess you could do that, but this woman's running a successful...
Nobody said she was successful, or else she wouldn't be asking $300
for $300. She lives by herself.
She's paying her rent
in New York
City.
In New York City, you're a successful event coordinator.
Wait, do we know that she's living by herself?
He said to pay her rent.
To pay her rent. I mean, I'll say this. It's rare to work from home in general, first of all. It's also rare to work from home and make... enough money to pay your rent. Like when I used to tell people like I just work out of my apartment, they're like, and you can like afford life. So I think it's rare that there are jobs that really let you work from home and make enough money.
I feel like event coordinator is a pretty freelance job though, no?
It just, I'm just saying,
like,
it's,
why would
it's
you
a
even
very,
need an office?
It's, if I was a hooker and I was trying to hide it, I would probably say I'm an event coordinator and I work
from home.
You guys,
there's no way she's a hooker.
I don't think she's a hooker.
She didn't collect the money.
She charges people fucking money for sex.
No,
there
so
is a chance.
Do I.
There's a chance
I'm
that she's a hooker.
Not a hooker. There's a chance. There's always a chance anyone's a hooker.
But there's a stronger chance with her than the average girl.
I think we're reading too much into this at this point. And I think that it's she's a weird gal. You know, asking for $300 to fuck
is a hooker move.
It's unconventional. but I don't think she's no hooker. Like I said, no hooker is gonna fuck you for free or give you a handjob for free.
Is this weird?
And then
kind of
set it up for a $300 fuck next week. That's not.
Yeah,
hookers aren't like the guy that
she's not following
the
hooker code.
The Chinese dude at the mall who's like, here, have this free sample of General Tso's, and then you're gonna come and you're gonna get a full order.
I don't know. Unless she's some new age hooker.
Your first taste is free.
She's like a drug dealer.
Like a crack dealer.
That's not. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't think hookers work like that.
It works for crack.
They don't.
But crack, you're getting crack still. You're not getting a fucking hand job. No one wants hand jobs. No, a hand job isn't a thing that makes you go, I'm going to call that girl again.
Yeah, and a hand job isn't something you come back over and over for, because once you came, you came. Like,
it's
not
really
like, oh, shit, I need more.
I think this is a buddy who doesn't really like his friend.
He's just trying to be like, you're fucking a hooker.
And he kind of roped us into this tale.
I love it.
And I think we're...
Here's actually what I ultimately think. I think he just wants this dude to dump this, like, hookerish chick. Maybe she's not a professional
hooker. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But I think he's like, this girl is a fucking... weird chick who charges money for hand jobs, and I don't think you should be wasting your time with her dumper.
But
he calls this show and just tries to get us to say that.
She didn't necessarily charge him for a hand job
The hand job was free.
She gave him a hand job, and then she was like,
can you give me 300
bucks?
I think
you should give me money. But it wasn't like...
Didn't that come after that? Even
yeah.
That came a week later before the actual
yeah.
sex.
Power of the pussy.
That doesn't make
the
any sense.
Power of the hand.
That would not, a hooker wouldn't do that. So this girl's strange, sure.
But not a hooker.
Not a hooker. And
I guess maybe she is just an event coordinator. Now, the ultimate thing with hand jobs, the problem is
that... You know what it is? It's a bit of a...
That awkward
moment when he thinks he's banging a hooker.
Yep.
Classic movie.
Great movie.
If you haven't seen it,
it's
check it out.
Five stars.
That awkward moment. It's
Zac Efron, Miles Teller, the girl with the fucked up teeth.
Imogen Poots, who just has the most beautiful eyes ever.
And the most fucked up teeth, though.
Well, she's British.
Is she British?
Oh, yeah. And Michael B. Jordan. It's a classic.
It is a classic. He thinks that he's banging a hooker.
I love Michael B. Jordan.
He's like, you had like the high boots and cash and condoms and all these signs. And she just had like an answer for all of it. She's like, I like the boots. I pay my rent in cash. I have condoms because I like want to be safe and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, I guess I should have
called you a hooker. I want to talk about this. What do you guys think of girls who carry condoms? Like, if you go home with
a girl
and she has her own condoms in her purse, I'm not...
Let's get into a little addition of he said, she said.
Yeah.
Because this is a scenario, much like when you talk about sex on the first date, it's like, I'm not really going to judge you as, like, a person. I'm not going to be like, oh, that's gross and trashy that you carry condoms. But I'm going to be like, you probably fuck a lot.
That's fine. I don't think I've ever run into it.
I feel like maybe not carrying them on her person, but I've been like at a girl's apartment and she has the condoms, which I think is a lot.
Her apartment is totally different.
I've done a nightstand, and I've also had let's get condoms on the way home, which is fine too.
That's totally
right,
different.
Right, yeah, but I don't think I've ever had a girl just out of her cell phone pocket where this little one right here just whips out like a fucking rubber.
You can see the little ring in their pocket, like in their back pocket. It's
a
like indented.
Ring.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to stand up for a minute because my back is sweating so much.
These leather chairs don't do us any favors.
It's so nice and warm in here. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm a pretty slutty girl, and I can't help but feel like that's kind of weird when girls carry condoms.
So even you wouldn't do that?
Even I have that stigma. And I'm
imagine Asa being like, you're a slut.
You're a fucking slut. Get yourself together. No, I hate that I feel that way, but I can't help that I do.
I wish I had an abortion.
Yeah, I was going to say this is some Lena Dunham shit.
No.
The stigma. hand jobs. Back to the hand jobs. The point is, the problem with hand jobs is that guys can always give themselves a better hand job than a girl can, right?
I disagree with that now. Now we're talking crazy,
In what regards? I guarantee I can give a better hand job than
a girl. Do girls give hand jobs?
apparently for $300.
I mean, like,
no,
have you
the
got-
$300 was for for sex. Stop muddying the waters on this story.
Oh, wait.
This is, the hand job was free.
Wait, hold on. Have you guys ever gotten hand jobs just like with random girls you've hooked up with?
Not like a random girl I've hooked up with. No, I've, like with a girlfriend.
Now, I have gotten with a girlfriend like a happy ending massage type of hand job. That's awesome.
No mouth. Hands only.
Yeah, like but like lotion and the whole nine. Not just
okay.
Sit there and crack it off.
So that's
I'm getting
a whole
like
other
my
thing.
Massage, my dick massage. And a lot of times that's fucking awesome. That's
yeah.
really good.
That's what I'm saying.
Multiple
so why
hands
do you
working.
Think you can do that better?
But well, I think I can. I think I could jerk you off better than Asa.
Challenge accepted, John.
Challenge accepted. Oh, we've got a gentleman's agreement here.
You're the big winner, John. This is a no-lose situation
wins, yeah.
for you. Well, this guy
I'll
called in.
I'll even close my eyes for both so it won't be gay, and yeah. I'll just guess who was who.
Right. And I guarantee
well,
you'll
if
be...
if I'm in the room, it's not gay.
That's apparently the rule. It's like...
I'll tell you what, Asa's got some fishy rules on homosexuality, but we'll go with him on this occasion.
Here's a guy talking about jerking off in the shower.
What's up?
That was just a long, convoluted way for me to introduce this voicemail, and I ended up saying I was going to give you a hand job.
KFC, Danny from Long Island. So me and my boys were sitting around talking about jerking off in the shower before you go out, which I'd assume most guys do. Then the conversation kind of just kept going into jerking off every time you're in the shower. So they kind of looked at me weird when I told them that I probably jerk off about 85% of the time when I'm in the shower, maybe close to 90. I was wondering how many times, how often you guys jerk off when you take a shower.
I am absolutely with this dude at the 85% clip.
You
85%?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many. It's not like I go into the shower being like, I'm going to jerk off. But, like, I'm wrapping up. I've got the shampoo. I got the conditioner in. And I'm like, I'm fucking sitting here naked. I got a few extra minutes. I'm going to crack off.
First of all, okay, a few things here. The shampoo, we should just clarify for any young people listening. Don't use that. Don't use that. Do not use
John is
going to
breed a fucking... generation of greasy-haired pricks.
No, oh, no, I'm talking about the jerk your dick off.
Oh, do not do that.
Oh, I thought you meant for your
No, I wasn't even thinking of the hair. This is more important than the hair, even.
Dude, wait, why?
Don't
why?
Jerk your dick off.
If you get
this
soap,
shampoo.
Like, up your dick, it is, forget about childbirth, forget about kidney stones. When you get a little bit of shampoo up your pee hole, it is the most painful thing
more
you
than
can
in your
imagine.
Eye?
Yeah.
Oh, my
oh,
God.
Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
It hurts so bad.
I'll put soap in my eye right fucking now. No problem.
That sounds like
pain.
Something that would happen so often, just by, like, not even by jerking off, but just by, like, the...
No, because it's got, you know, it's a pretty small hole and it's pretty sealed up. You got to be like working
it, like,
it to get in there.
Down.
It's all gravity, yeah. really. When you get it, and there are times where, you know, especially when you're a teenage boy where it's like you just need something and it's like, I don't have a lotion. I don't have some, I'm out of conditioner. I'm going to go with the shampoo. And it sounds like a good idea in your head at the time, and it is not. Do not do it.
But here's what I was going to say aside from that. You gotta live at home if you're jerking off at 85%. See, if you gotta be either living with your parents or you gotta be living with your wife and kids. Because I'm just gonna go jerk off in my fucking bed if I want to jerk off. Then you're in the shower. First of all, it's a dangerous situation to be fucking masturbating yourself.
Oh.
On a porcelain floor.
Hey,
you gotta get.
I've already explained this. I'm a professional hand job giver. I can jerk myself off on any surface, in any temperature, in any scenario, and I will be just fine. Okay.
Jerking off, standing up, just in general, even not on a slippery, dangerous surface where you could literally fall and die.
You stink at giving yourself hand jobs.
No,
you're gonna fall over and die.
If
during
you're
it.
Fucking, you're just standing up, like just
I agree.
Standing up
is already dangerous.
It's just weird. You got fucking, you're kind of bent over. You're kind of like, it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'll give you that.
And no one's going to come into my room because it's my fucking room.
True.
And I can just do whatever I want to myself in there.
Now, what you're saying, though, is very true. Like, a married man's bathroom is a safe haven.
That's,
and
it's just
a
like
necessary
a 13-year-old.
Thing.
That's
but,
where you're you.
Right.
That's it.
But there was also times where I was a single guy or living with roommates, and I, again, it's more just like, I'm here. I'm naked. There's my dick. I like jerking off. I'm just going to do it right now.
See, I'll still – I will sometimes – I'll kind of be like, at the end of the shower, just give her like two extra tugs and be like, oh, yep, okay.
That's, yeah. And I'll tell you what, 85% of the time, the answer is yep.
But that, and then when it is, I'll just go, okay, well, dry up and we'll finish this, we'll finish this in the
bedroom.
No, see,
to me, it's like then there's cleanup and it's a whole production.
That's a crime of passion.
I can just down
the
drain and I'm good to go.
Oh, if I were a dude, I would totally jerk off in the shower.
Always.
It's the cleanup. Yeah. That's what it is.
You just fucking blast off. It goes right down the pipes and you're good to go.
It's like peeing in the shower.
Yeah. It's all pipes.
I do that. Just cleanup really isn't as big a deal.
There's just cum all over John's room.
Asa, your idea of cleanup is just different than what like the normal guy's cleanup situation is.
Why? What is your cleanup situation?
It's just like a wipe. One or two wipes. A quick little scrub and it's clean.
But you don't even have to do that
to paint
in the shower.
The picture for everyone, John motioned about rubbing all over his stomach. So we know John just comes all over his stomach. That's John's go-to. Just fucking coming in his own belly button.
Dude,
you thought you were going to get away with that one in an audio
podcast. I didn't
even
think about that one. It just happened. Yeah, that's right. But fucking come where I come. Sometimes it goes down towards my knees. Sometimes it goes up. Sometimes you dodge it real quick. It fucking depends what happens.
Dude, I always have yesterday's boxers right on deck. That's where it goes every time. Right in there.
What?
Yeah. See you later. Yeah.
Just grab
whatever,
Tony
like,
comes.
The laundry is in the fucking right there, and you throw it in, throw it in the wash.
I
don't want to come all over my stomach, I'll tell you that much.
So you like roll over and just come on whatever?
Yeah, you just like,
that ruins the experience for me. That's making myself do something for the 1 second where it's actually super.
No, I just like hold it. I just have it there. I don't have to roll onto it. I just fucking basically cover my stomach so I don't come all over my
tummy. I do that a lot.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
Wow, that kind of sucks for you guys that you even have to think about that.
Yeah, you guys can
I
just
don't. That's
blast
the problem,
off as many times as you want. John just comes on himself.
Like, I would never masturbate in the shower. That's like...
Well, standing up, especially for a girl, it's like, you guys are never doing that. There's times
although
where we're
standing.
Although,
when I watch...
I had a buddy, this is disgusting.
Oh, boy.
This is,
oh, boy. Here we go.
Tell us right now.
This is... So, he's uncircumcised. Uncircumcised. And
what do you mean, ugh?
That's gross.
Gross.
That's
so
not gross.
Gross.
So yes.
Gross.
Oh, it's so
it's
gross.
It's so much better for anal.
Why?
Why?
It just is. Like,
that's a lie.
Yeah,
that's not a good answer.
If your answer for anything is, it
just
why?
If there's one thing I know in this world, it's anal. And I'm telling you, uncut dicks are made for anal.
They're all dirty and shit.
No, they're not.
Yeah, you got to extra clean them.
Well, you want to tell me they're not dirty? Okay, let me finish my story then. Thank you. He would come, and when he was coming,
oh god, I don't.
This was in high school. He would tell me about this.
Actually gonna throw up.
So I
love that you're standing up and telling us the story. You're like physically dominating us as you tell us.
He would catch it. In his
what?
Extra skin, and then just walk over to the barrel and dump it out.
Doesn't that make you think that men are supposed to have foreskin?
No!
No, I don't think men have, God in all his infinite wisdom, created foreskin to catch you cum and then dump it in the trash barrel. I don't think that's what God was thinking.
Or maybe he did.
Or maybe he did.
Yo, I'll tell you what.
That's
God,
why
God
cavemen,
works in mysterious
that's why
ways.
Cavemen
he's
didn't cut
than
their
that.
Dicks so
think,
they could dump cum in a trash
you
barrel.
You think God's intention was for you to leave your old boxers from yesterday on the side?
God has nothing to do with that. God made my dick. God didn't choose anything but my old underwear.
Actually,
I'll tell you what.
God made your dick with foreskin.
I'll tell you what. God made,
yeah, it was
God
just
made
for,
boxers
I don't
for me
know
to
the
come
reason.
In them.
It's just a different reason than
what?
For me to come
God
in.
Made boxers for me to come in them. I think that's the truth.
Well, how do I even argue that? I don't know.
I don't know. Do a better job than that, though. Because that's a win for me.
Wait, but...
Catching your own cum in your dick
I think that sounds
disgusting.
Awesome. If you're...
Disgusting.
Anytime your body comes with something as useful as that, I think that's cool.
It's not that useful. Come on. It's disgusting.
But what's up, guys? My name's Nick. I'm from Nashville. First time, long time. I'm a struggling college student, and I recently got the opportunity through a friend of mine giving me some information to donate my sperm. So apparently you can make a ton of money, like almost like $400 a week doing this. I went in, you have to fill out some information and submit a sample to make sure all your boys are swimming. And they approved me, said I'm an eligible donor. And I started getting second thoughts. Thought it would be a little weird having kids that are mine that I don't know out there somewhere with some random-ass family. So just wanted your guys' opinion on that.
Would you donate your sperm, John?
No.
What?
I mean,
I guess if I was poor.
If you were poor, or like, what if I told you right now you could get $250 for a donation?
Fuck no.
$500.
No.
But you don't even know if it's going to turn into a kid. It's just the deposit.
I don't know.
$1,000.
Sure. I don't know. This is fucking, you got me in the corner now. I don't know. I've never thought about it. I've never considered it. I guess if I was in dire times and it was suck a dude's dick in an alley for money or go cum in a fucking medical piss jar, I'd probably choose the latter. But it's not something I've ever really thought about. I don't think I'd like the idea that maybe there's a kid.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, my answer, I don't have a problem with it. First of all, every now and then a story pops up where, like, the dude who donated sperm is, like, on the hook for child support. And I'm just like, it's not worth that
risk.
What? Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Right. So, like, you can give
it's
me.
It's rare, but yeah. There's one of those things annually, probably.
Exactly. And even if it's one out of a zillion other deposits at a sperm bank, I'm not risking that one.
And it's always some bullshit, like, the kid's been around for 18 years, so he owes all
his
back,
right.
too.
And bullshit.
Like, no.
And I'll be honest, just as a...
I needed $200 for a book in college. I'm not fucking paying for this kid's entire tuition.
Growing up, from the time you're, like, whatever, first having sex till you stop having sex. As a guy, you're basically like, your whole goal is to, like, get laid and not get chicks pregnant for a long, long period of time. And so I'm just going to stick with that. Like, I, for the most part, don't want my cum to inseminate anyone. And so that's what we're sticking with.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go out of my way to give someone my cum to get pregnant.
But, like, okay, fine. Let's just take that child support thing off the table for a second.
Okay.
Then are you okay with it? Like, just
I still
the
just don't
concept
like the, I'm still
of,
not comfortable with the idea of a kid out there.
It is a little weird.
I'm not bothered by it at all.
Would you donate? Let's it's flip
fine.
The switch.
Fine.
Like,
you go donate
your eggs.
You go donate your sperm for it, then.
My sperm for it? I mean, for a woman, it's really different because we have to go on hormones. It's not as easy as just, like, masturbating. But, if I were a dude, I would have no problem doing that. And I think it's a great thing to do. Like, there's a lot of people out there who want kids that
can't
have
them. It's like organ donating.
Wait, are you against that?
No.
Oh, no. I'm an organ donor.
So that's where I'm very contradictory.
When it comes to my body, once it's dead, I'm Frank and Always Sunny. Like, stuff me full of trash and throw me away. I don't give a shit at all. So,
wait, so you are an...
I'm an organ donor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do,
right. I mean, like, I don't know if you want
cut me
organs.
Open in the middle of the highway and take everything. I
kind of think if you're not an organ donor,
you're, like,
you're
selfish
kind
asshole.
Of a dick.
Yeah, well, it's a weird religious shit.
Oh, okay, unless it's religion, then
yeah,
I'm okay
with that.
Yeah, but
even that,
then
like,
you're still
a
kind of a
asshole,
dick.
Too.
No, like, because you're not doing it for asshole selfish reasons.
Right,
you're...
but it, what if it's like, yo, there
you're
is
doing
like
it for
a
asshole
child
selfish
out
reasons.
There.
No.
Yes, yeah, kind you're of. Doing it so you can go to heaven because you didn't desecrate your body. That's an asshole selfish reason. So you can go to the made-up place.
It's a little different.
That kid's going to die. A kid who needs a liver is going to die.
I don't think
you
they think of it like that, though.
Well, they're thinking of it wrong.
They're probably...
Assholes usually don't think they're being assholes.
It's just my delusional girl persona. are you working this weekend? Are you at the club soon?
Oh, yeah. I'm working at Sapphire.
And are you in Philly soon?
No, I was just in
Where
Philly.
Where are you? Are you?
I'm in New York.
Hey, how's it going? It's Matt from UMass.
Hey, Matt. Are you going to Massachusetts soon?
This question's actually for Asa. Word on the gram is that you're going to be... stripping at Alex's in Stoughton, which isn't too far from the zoo. I was thinking about rounding up some of the guys and going down. Would I or would one of the members of my crew be able to pull the stunt Nate pulled on you?
oh no! This is going to happen
pretty
so much
fun.
In my life now.
All right,
oh
So it's,
it sounds like this dude is misinformed and you're not actually going to be at the club
so,
up there.
No,
why
did
you always go to Alex's, by the way?
There was, no, I was supposed to be at Alex's either this next weekend or this past weekend, but it ended up getting canceled.
Okay, so that's
not
where this guy's coming from.
Yeah, and it wasn't because of me. Like, I never cancel a gig. Shit, this
are
is
you
gonna
prepared
be a thing
for that?
Now.
Yeah, it's gonna be a thing where, like, just in general, people are gonna be like,
I don't
stoolies.
Think so.
It's 100%, and I'm making it more of a thing now.
People are gonna walk like up to you and say, "Can I flip you over?"
Yes. 100%.
What a I thought
that's bold.
I
it just
that's a
happened.
Wild life you
John,
lead.
It literally just happened.
Yeah,
right in
but
front of
it
your
was
eyes.
It was a phone call. I think it's a little different to just walk up to someone, look them in the eye, and say, "Let me standing 69 year old quick."
Let me clarify. I don't think it's going to happen like when I'm walking down the street.
But when you're in the club.
It might happen when I'm walking down the street.
Even in a strip club, I feel like that makes it almost harder to do because you could just, I mean, you could really establish the tone right now and say, if you do that, I'm calling a bouncer. Because I'm almost on my best behavior in front of a bouncer. In a strip club, I am.
Well,
I am
those are the
no,
scariest of bouncers.
That is why, yeah, like, and I always do feel very safe in a strip club. Sometimes I bring my own bodyguard, and a lot of times I don't because nobody's going to do some stupid shit. You'd have to be an idiot to try to pull something in a strip club because there are so many bouncers there. It's mm-hmm. it's like doing something illegal in an airport. Like, it's just the dumbest fucking place to do that. But this is absolutely going to be a thing. 100%. People ask me to sit on their face on a nightly basis when I'm dancing. This is nothing. But except this is worse.
Well,
because they could drop me on my head.
Yeah,
it's almost more dangerous.
Neck.
Like, I'd rather sit on your face.
Well, so there's your answer. Listen, no, I'm not going to do the standing 69 like Nate, but I will sit on your face for like $50. Another stripper question here for you.
What's up, guys? It's John from Jersey. I got a little bit of a story followed up with a couple questions. So me and a couple boys went out to a wedding in Minnesota in August. The night before the wedding, we went to a strip club. One of my friends had never been. I paid the dancer to give him a dance. He comes back to me, asks me if I had paid her already, and I said, yeah. She ended up charging him again at the end, so she double-charged him. Long story short, we brought it to the attention of the club owner. He ends up firing the stripper. Now, my first question is, we're going back to a wedding in Minnesota in January. One, do we go back to that strip club? Two, this one's for Asa. Was that a common practice when you were a dancer to overcharge young, drunk, impressionable white males? And three, did I make this stripper's life better or worse by her getting fired? All right, thanks. Viva.
The old double charge.
I mean, anytime
fucking
you
low.
Get...
If you, like, of course you got double charged. And that's kind of just... It's kind of part of the strip club experience.
Yeah.
I mean, like, rule number one, maybe don't trust the stripper.
Right.
Yeah.
Going to the boss, that's such a snitch move.
Yeah,
man.
I was going to say,
you got
like,
fucking beat. You got beat.
Right.
Deal with it.
And like, obviously, that's, like, fucked up on her. Like, she's breaking the rules, but it's like, you were an idiot. Don't go get her fired. That's fucked. But
I mean, but the thing is, it's when you get a stripper fired, it's not like getting someone at a conventional job hired.
Well, so
it's not like
that,
they're unhireable.
So his thing
from
was
this...
like, did I make her job or life better or worse? It's like, I should probably just go down the street to the
I
next
mean,
strip
you
club.
You probably
and...
made it like you did inconvenience her life. Yeah. But I mean, it's not like her next employer is looking for references. So I'm pretty sure she's fine. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't have snitched. Probably because I would have felt so stupid.
Yeah, that, that's
like,
right.
That happened to me in the first place.
Dude, I bought weed in the Bahamas once, and it just turned out to be like the guy just wrapped up like bags of garbage, and they just like, kept unfolding it, and there was garbage on garbage and garbage, and then it was just empty. And I was like, and that's because I'm a 16-year-old in the Bahamas, and I just got played. And I wasn't going to like chase after him, and I wasn't going to tell. I was just like, you're dumb, and you lose. Right. You got beat. But... Would you ever pull the old double charge?
Such a guy at a wedding who's never been to a strip club move to then go, I want to speak to the manager.
Yeah, like, I mean, dude, I couldn't even imagine doing that if I wanted to. Like, I'm going to file a complaint.
Yeah.
HR over here.
But
that's
the
everyone here
time.
Needs better friends, because someone in this friend group could have been like, should have said, sit down, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, what?
Get a beer.
$40. You pay 20. You pay 20. Whatever.
You're not
you know?
Going to make a whole thing for my
night. We also don't know how much
night.
It was, though. What if it was like a VIP dance that costed like $600?
If there was like a blowjob involved, then I can understand.
Or not even. Like, champagne room dances can be really expensive.
The random
just for a dance?
Yeah, just for a dance.
Yeah, but I think you're kind of dipping a guy's toes in the water first. You're not his first dance ever at a strip club, making him think this is what they're all going to be like.
I don't know. Also, they were in Minnesota, so it probably wasn't $600.
Minnesota strip clubs have got to be like.
Yeah.
You ever dance in Minnesota?
I don't think so. Yeah. I can't remember. So
they probably can't afford you. 5-4 Club. It's the easiest way to get your clothes delivered directly to your house, so you don't have to go to the mall, you don't have to worry about shopping, and you don't have to worry about trying to keep up with the trends and knowing what's fancy. Like, I can look over at my friend Feidelberg, and I see that he takes his pants, and he actually pulls out some scissors, and he chops the bottoms off on purpose, and he calls them Huck Finn pants. And so I can say to myself, wow, the fashion industry is fucking stupid, and that's going to be the new trend, where people are actually chopping up their own pants. I know that because I can look at this fucking idiot Feidelberg. But a lot of other normal guys out there don't have that luxury, so you can become a member of the 5-4 Club where they can keep up with all the fashionable trends for you. You sign up, you create a style profile over at 54club.com where you put your size in and your fashion preference, and that way they know if you're fashion forward, if you are more classic, if you're a hybrid of the two, and they know exactly what to send you every single month. That way it fits, and you know that you're going to get clothes that you like. As styles change and adapt, you know that you're going to be getting the new hottest trends sent directly to your house. So you can stay fresh, stay updated, stay cool, whether you're young, old, or you're a dad like me. It doesn't matter. 5-4 is going to hook you up as long as you become a member right now. Go to 54club.com. Use the promo code KFC, and you're going to get 40% off that first box plus a pair of $75 sunglasses. So every single month, you get a package with a couple items of clothing. Right now, if you use the code, you're going to get it for 40% off. Go to 5-4 Club, spell it out, FIVEFOUR club.com. Use the promo code KFC. Get that first package for 40% off and a free pair of sunglasses. Let's get into what I think is my favorite voicemail of the day. A good little would you rather. A throwback, Feidelberg, almost like episode 1 of KFC Radio.
What's up, KFC? Fights, Asa. This is Jack from Connecticut. Quick would you rather. Would you rather for the rest of your life, whenever you went to a restaurant, the waiter didn't speak English really well, so you always had to kind of take forever to try to get your order in, and it's just super frustrating, or every door that you try to open is always the opposite of what you try, so a push is a pull, a pull is a push, and you just look like a real fucking idiot every time you try to open a door. Thanks.
Worst waiter ever, doesn't speak English, it's going to take forever to get your order in. Or you have the push-pull, fake-out, incorrect choice every time you open a door.
I have a definitive answer.
I absolutely have a definitive answer.
I do, too.
On the count of three.
Wait.
What are you going to say, waiter or door?
Wait, what are
we're
we saying?
We're going to say what you would prefer to live with.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Waiter.
Idiot, John. You're dumb. You're an idiot.
The waiter always speaks the wrong language and takes forever. Am I right?
Yes. Okay. Well, no, it doesn't take the wrong order. It just takes...
It just takes forever.
It requires a lot of patience.
I'd rather have the wrong order, first of all. I'd rather you get it first try and just go, I'll get that guy a chicken sandwich. I don't know what the fuck he said.
Just give him something.
Than me to sit there and keep talking with you. That's a fact.
John wants to just always limit all sorts of human interaction at any cost.
But there are way more doors in life than there are waiters.
Yep.
But the push-pull, that's just not funny. That takes 2 seconds. You look around and go, oh.
But it's 2 seconds every 2 seconds.
Yep. No. Dude, in college, I used to pay my roommate $2 per order to just place my delivery orders for me.
My best friend does that.
My wife says,
this has been something for a long time.
She tells me I have a phone voice. She's like, oh, you're on a podcast. You have the phone voice, so why don't you call and make the order? I'm like, fuck you. That's such a made-up thing. But it's worth $2 to never have to talk to these people.
I love that.
It's
That's
so
like exactly
annoying.
The kind of shit I try to pull.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're so much better at it.
Yes. And I'm like, yo, you have never once commented on like my voice or my show, and now all of a sudden you're making me call the Mexicans at the pizza place because they don't understand fucking English.
I will say, ever since we've been able to order food on apps and like
Seamless
on the internet,
whatnot. Yeah,
it really does take a lot of effort to pick up the phone and call them now. Like,
or when you have to list out your credit card number,
yeah,
and your expiration,
forget it.
And
yeah.
Your code, and your address, and apartment, what? And as in Nancy, what? You got to say all the fucking
yeah.
words that go. No.
Wait, hold on. But there's a huge difference between the waiter not speaking English and the delivery order taker on the other end of the phone
that
not
is
speaking
true.
English. Those are two really different scenarios.
But I think it applies if you're getting food, or is it this is just at the restaurant? Whatever. Either way,
yeah,
my answer.
Whatever.
Both.
I'll still take the waiter.
My answer is the same either way. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
It's when you have to just talking to someone in a different language is the worst.
It's a fiasco.
And I'm confident in saying this myself because I've been on the other end of the stick, and I'm just so apologetic the whole time. I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you can't understand me. I'm so fucking sorry.
What other end were you on? Were you in another country?
Yeah, in another country.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I fucking should have learned the language before I came. I know I should have. It's on me.
I'm the ignorant American. I know it. I get it.
I shouldn't have to be flipping through a goddamn book while I try and just get a chocolate
bar.
Yeah,
but the delivery person never feels like that, and that's why it's frustrating.
I know, but that's why I don't have a problem telling them, fuck you, because I do feel apologetic, and you should at least feel a little apologetic for me, too, because this is frustrating for me to have to deal with your goddamn ass right now.
It's so deep for you.
I'm so hungry. I just want fucking food at the moment. I don't want to be fighting with you in a different language.
Okay.
I just want my food.
I heard this question. I was like, I really hate when I try to push it and it's
yeah.
a pull. That was it.
Yeah,
that's what went through my head.
Well, because when you're trying to get food, you're hungry, you're already irritable, and it's just like, you don't speak my language. Why did you go into a job in the service industry? This is so frustrating. I just want food. Bring me anything right now.
Yeah, I hear you. But you know what? My parents are immigrants, so I'm really sympathetic toward people who English is not their first language.
Yo,
and
you're
I think
an Asian, okay? It's
but
different
also,
from like Mexican delivery men.
No, but also like I think I'm good at communicating. Oh, first of all, I'm married to a foreigner. So I just
True.
Remember that.
True.
So like I think I'm really good at communicating with foreigners. And I really fucking hate that door thing.
I was going to say, it goes back to the door. When I pull a push, I feel like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and
everyone's
there's always
looking.
Someone standing there
yeah.
judging you and being like, oh, did you try pulling?
Yeah. Like, yo, there's only two fucking
yeah.
options. No, I was going to try to spin the door next. It's a push or a pull, and I've eliminated one of them.
And it happens to all of us every fucking day. Like,
also,
it's not
every door, like, if it's a push, it shouldn't have the handle. Like,
there
you need
needs
to design
to be a more
the door
universal,
correctly.
Yes.
And when it's a pull, there's like a little handle. And when it's a push, it's just a bar or it just.
It, yeah,
just
there
a handprint
needs to
thing.
Be.
I think you two are just big fucking idiots because I don't run into this problem very often in my life.
I'll tell you what, I run into it so often. When I'm walking up to a door, I look at like the edge and
yeah.
I'm like, I need
and
to
still
see where.
Sometimes you're wrong,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Those are
but
misleading.
I plan it out like 5 steps away.
You look like you're in pain.
I can't stop sweating. I'm so itchy.
I know.
It's
it is
horrible in this
hot.
Goddamn
it's
fucking.
It's impressively hot in here. We're getting through it, John. Don't worry.
Warm air rises, right?
Yeah, get low. Get low, John. He's literally. John is now laying on the floor.
It's 10 degrees cooler down here.
Is it better down there, John?
It's amazing.
This
it's significantly.
You're like
down
a
here.
Child.
I'll tell you what. I'm not. I might join him soon. It is that fucking hot in the studio.
It feels great.
Yeah,
in here.
I can't. The fact that you're comfortable right now, John. I feel like
it's crazy.
I feel like I'm being gassed. It's nuts.
Can you hear me fine?
Yeah, you're pretty good.
This is fantastic.
Let's talk about sort of like underage inappropriate behavior.
Oh.
Hey, KFC Radio, Spice, KFC, Arthur. What's going on? First time, long time. So my question is, this girl made a video when she was like 14 or 15, you know, like showing her tits and ass and just kind of one of those things that got sent around. And my buddy of mine just found this video on his laptop. Keep in mind, we're 22, and he's had this since he was about 15. So really the question is it a crime if he watches it, and is it bad that he sent me a Snapchat of it? Thanks, Diva.
All right.
Yup!
You guys, I'm so sorry.
Like, we were just, we're accomplices, I think.
You're going to have to edit this out, but can we play it again? I was, like, too distracted by John being on the floor, and I did not, like, listen to the entire first half.
Here's what we got. We got these guys. They're 22 years old. This dude, when they were younger, a, like, 15-year-old girl sent him, like, a sext with, like, her naked, like, showing off her ass and tits. Mm-hmm. Now they're 22. They still have it. He sent it around. Technically, they are 22-year-old guys looking at
I mean, technically, they're pedophiles.
Right. Like, this is, first of all, but 22. It's not like they're like 30.
22 is too old to be looking at a 14-year-old girl. That's just, that's a fact.
But it was,
we're not debating that on this show.
But it was, like, your 14-year-old girl. Like,
not
it was your,
this kid. This kid fucking, this but it was is just like, a random snap.
It's your buddy's girlfriend. Come on.
No, dude,
no,
you
know
are,
what? There's
you
a
are,
very,
there's you are
a,
choosing the wrong hill to die
really
on right
now. There's a really clear-cut answer here. And the answer is this. If you saw that back when you were also 14 and you can still look at it until you're however old.
Okay.
No,
however,
you can't.
However,
you're wrong.
If you are an adult and this is your first time seeing that photo,
which is what the
you're
caller is,
fucking nasty.
Yeah, which is what the caller is. The caller is he's 22. It's the first time seeing it.
Yeah. So the caller.
And even the guy. Look, dude. Even
wait.
The,
can I ask a question? What if she's really hot?
Dude, it doesn't. No. No, this is insane. I can't believe we're having this discussion right now. This is nuts. Kevin Shea's almost 14, for God's sake.
You leave her out of this. You don't bring her into this podcast studio. You understand me right now? We do not talk about... Yo, okay, here's the thing. Have you ever, John... You have your spank bank, right? Have you ever thought about a girl from, like, when you were in middle school?
No. What? No. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You never thought about it like a chick from high school that you wanted to fuck?
No. Well, high school, yes. But like...
Fine. So then when she was 16...
No, but
Is that pedophilia?
It was girls I hooked up with in high school.
What about... you? There is a girl you didn't fuck in high school that you can think about that is still
no, because
in high school
that doesn't,
in age, looking like
first
a high schooler.
First of all, now that I'm thinking about it, like, I probably haven't even done that. I haven't fucking used my mind to jerk off in, like, I don't know.
Well, wait,
that's
because
you're not,
wait,
in the shower
it's
enough.
It's 2006.
When you're in the shower, you got to come up with all
sorts. I don't think
wait
I've
a second.
Used...
Wait. Hold on. Stop everything. You never use your imagination to jerk off?
Very rarely anymore. I don't know if I can pick the last time I did.
Says the fucking porn star.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck my made
up
twin brother, so I can just do whatever I want. I can watch other shit.
No judging, hey.
Yeah, but we just put on porn.
I put on porn. I have sex.
I watch porn maybe
five age women that I can use. I don't. It's the 21st century, man. If I'm still jerking off with my fucking brain, it's different. My brain's for bullshit. There's nothing my brain's needed for anymore. Anything I want is in my phone, be it fucking naked pictures, calculators,
brains are
historical
useless.
Information. I don't need shit in my skull anymore. This could be like a kangaroo pouch. I just use it to store stuff. This fucking useless in here.
A kangaroo
like
pouch is actually
bindle.
Very
I use it,
useful.
I use it to store physical things. If we could just take my
pocket.
Brain out, yeah, a big an extra pocket.
It's a pocket on the top of your head.
Then that would be perfect. I don't need my brain for dick anymore. So no, I don't often think about a girl. And I'm just thinking about, first of all, if I've ever done it, it's been she's been transported into my current life.
Oh, that's
no,
bullshit.
That is
no,
the
she
biggest
has,
lie
yes,
I've ever
not,
fucking
yes,
heard.
I will
yes,
sit there.
This is insane, and I'm not letting it go.
I will
There's
have,
no. You're not fucking thinking about. Think about holding a picture of a fucking girl you liked in like when you were a freshman in high school. You're holding the goddamn picture, jerking off.
I will understand.
That's fucking sick, Kevin.
I will admit the picture is a little different, but I will absolutely think about a chick I fucked in high school, and I will think about when I fucked her in high school.
Yeah, same.
And that's when she was
and
like
And I think about that with dudes, too. Like, yeah. And they're not... They're not now 32.
Right. Like let me age appropriately.
Yeah.
Like let me
add some wrinkles here. Add a little gray.
No, I'm not doing that. First of all, it still doesn't apply because I can't remember the last time I ever did this. So I don't even know if I've done it since high school. But I'm just saying it's. I'm comparing it to holding a picture, and I just don't.
The picture
don't,
is weird.
So do you think it's
so? That's what we're talking about.
But
that's what the thing is. This is what the whole thing is about. It's a video of her. You are the one who fucking muddied the waters, bringing it into the mind. It has nothing to do with the mind. This is a physical thing, and it's a crime we're talking about.
Do you think it's okay for
Yo, you're such a pussy right now.
Do you think it's okay for the friend that...
The guy who fucked her?
The guy that actually fucked her?
I think I think it's fucking really weird
to
have a picture of a 14-year-old girl showing her tits and ass. I can't believe that I'm the only one on this island.
But again,
right now.
Like, what if she's really not?
Oh my god, this
like,
is
yo,
sick. What if you fucking pervert?
What if she's like really mature for her age?
What if she's like Puerto Rican? You know how like you're 14, she makes
look
like a 30.
She's peaking.
I can't wait. I can't wait until this podcast comes out tomorrow, and everyone's like, "You guys are fucking seriously deranged."
This is only like so hilarious because you are so mad.
So mad.
I'm so mad because you think it's okay to have a video of a naked 14-year-old on a phone. That's a thing to get worked up about. It's crazy that I work with two people like this.
Not one, but two. I'm just saying, if that was me and I was 22 and she was like, first of all, it wasn't 14, it was 16. There's a big difference. 16-year-old.
No, it wasn't. It was 14 or 15.
All right, well, 14's really young.
There's also a huge difference between
be making 14
and 15.
Should not be making those videos when you're 14.
No, you
well,
shouldn't.
Actually, did you know that actually that 14-year-old kid was a sex child porn.
That's child porn.
No, that's an actual, like, you're a sex offender even if you are 14 and you do that.
Right.
Actually.
I know. So when you're 22, I can't believe I'm getting pushback on this. Yes, it's wrong, dude. It's wrong. It's wrong. You shouldn't call into radio shows asking about it. It's fucking wrong.
Like, make sure we flag that guy. Yeah. This is like to catch a predator.
Fucking tomorrow we're going to get anyway. So I raped and killed this chick, and I kind of still think about it sometimes. And I don't know. Do you think that's wrong?
Is that weird?
Yeah, dude, it's fucking wrong. It's a literal crime.
Oh my god.
Ray, what do you guys think next week on KFC Radio? Where do you think I should dump the body? Fucking A, man. Turn into a crime syndicate in this place.
Oh, I'm probably going directly to the doghouse on that one, and the way I'm gonna get out of it is by getting a bouquet of flowers from the Books. And be like, yo, honey, sorry about that question where I was talking about the 16-year-old girl video.
No, 14! I want you to know how sick you are. She was 14, Kevin.
Also, the Books is going to be like, we don't want our ads placed there.
The lead-in. Can we talk about the lead-in? The Books is the best way to get out of the doghouse when you're in trouble because they send the most beautiful, vibrant flowers and blossoms directly to your wife when you're in trouble. They do same-day delivery in some instances when you're really in a pinch. And like I said, they grow flowers that are beautiful, big, vibrant colors because they are grown on the side of a volcano. They're grown in the hills of Colombia. They are the finest flowers available. Right now at the Books, you're going to get $15 off your $65 order, which is a 25% discount. So head over to Books, BOUQS.com/KFC. Use the promo code KFC, and you're going to get that $15 off your order. Whether it's a holiday, whether it's an anniversary, whether you're just in trouble and need to get out, Books has got you covered. Last voicemail of the day. What do we got here? It's going to be tough to fucking follow that one up there. But you know what, John? This is right up your alley. After everyone loves your quarter-life crisis when you join the 27 Club, this guy needs a little bit of advice.
Hey, KFC. I'm about to turn 26. I have a job that pays me about $50,000 a year pre-tax. I'm in crippling student loan and credit card debt. Can you lie to me and tell me it gets better, or is this all I have to look forward to?
26, $50,000 a year, crippling in student debt. He wants to know, John, does it get better?
You get number.
So true. It doesn't get better. You just stop caring that it doesn't get better.
Yeah, no, like I my life has not improved at all. I just kind of don't give a shit anymore.
That's life, man. That's what life comes down to. It's just like, it's not that things improve. You just stop caring how fun your life is.
I feel really lucky because, like...
You never went through this. You're just like... I just choked. Just
like, I feel like because I have a vagina...
Okay, I see. I hear it now.
Like, I'm never... like, I have an ATM machine between my legs.
You really do.
Like,
it's unbelievable. You just print money.
Yeah, like, it's, I never have to worry
about
that.
Money or yeah. any of that stuff. It's incredible.
So
my sorrows were never really very financial.
Financial, yeah. That's interesting that she went there because she's obviously all about the money.
I guess it was brought up in this call, but I think.
Wait, is this guy not talking about money?
No, he said
like, I'm 26. I make 50 grand. I'm in debt. Yeah, there are financial implications, but it's more like my life is kind of shitty and doesn't get any better. And it's like, it probably won't.
I mean,
you might make a little
more
money, but as you make more money, you get more bills. And, like, eventually you'll just, like, settle down, you'll have some kids, and you'll just be like, this is not that good. I'll tell you what, if you can't have fun when you're 26, wait until you're 31, wait until you're 32. You're fucked. So guess what? It doesn't get better.
It
gets
doesn't.
A lot worse.
It's they lie to all those gay kids. It doesn't get better. It never does.
John.
That was it's a joke. That was the campaign slogan
Lena Dunham.
For homosexuality. It's a wise joke. You wouldn't get it. It clearly went over your head.
Sorry, I'm just a poor delusional girl.
Beautiful.
It gets better. Nah, I don't fucking know, bud.
That is episode 6 of season 2 in the books. It was brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to buy and sell tickets to sporting events and concerts on the secondary market. It takes all the tickets available at these events, puts it into an easy-to-read chart where you can see exactly what you're paying, what you're getting per dollar spent. You can buy nosebleed tickets. You can buy front row tickets. You can rest assured every time that you're going to get the best price, and you can rest assured that you're going to get real tickets. No fraudulent concerns. You don't have to worry about buying tickets that are fake. And right now, if you use the promo code KFC, you're going to get a $20 discount. You buy your tickets, they will send you $20 in the mail, or they will send it directly to your PayPal account. So what you do is download the free SeatGeek app, go to settings, click add a promo code, type in KFC, buy your ticket, and after your first purchase, you're going to get $20 sent directly back to you. That's it for this episode. Feitelberg, do you have any last words for us?
Yeah, don't fucking jerk off to 14-year-olds, for God's sake.
I'll tell you what, you know what that is?
Wait, don't make that your last name, because now you're making us sound like we do.
Yeah, no, I have last word. That's been going on for years.
That's
now.
True. You can't come in and screw and
last mess word. With last word goes to me. Don't fucking jerk off to 14-year-olds.
You know what that is?
As you gather round the table with everyone, you feel that something has been left undone. The tree is all trimmed, your shopping is through, but there's one last thing you still have to do. It's Christmas Eve, 11 p.m. You walk down to the church and you quietly go in. Kneel down in the last pew, right on the aisle, and say, God, I know that it's been a while, but can you do me a favor on this Christmas Eve? Can you send out some blessings to